the rest of the story. It was the mid-13th century, almost precisely. A merchant left hometown Venice on a trading mission. He would not return for 15 years, but when he did, and because he did, the world was a larger place. For he had traveled to the Far East, to a land of which Europeans could only dream in 1269, a vast expanse that few believed to be civilized and some believed was not there at all. The merchant had met Mongol ruler Kublai Khan, was invited by him to return to China someday, and by the way, the Venetian merchant who had opened the door between East and West was the great Polo. The springboard for his first journey across the Asian continent was the city of Constantinople, now Istanbul, Turkey. Merchant Polo had commercial interests there. Sounds like a long way from Venice, but actually the distance between Venice and Constantinople was across the street compared to the rest of Polo's journey, an incredible 15,000-mile round trip. On the way out, he traveled by land, a staggering trek through what's now Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, eventually China. The court of Kublai Khan was located in what would later be called Peking. Polo was favored by the Mongol emperor and remained in his court for several years. The curious Khan asked 1,000 questions about Polo's native land, yet after the inquiries of both men had been satisfied, the Khan was fascinated. But Polo was astounded. In Europe, all reading material had to be copied by hand. But in China, books were mass-produced by an amazing process, mechanical printing. European currency of the day was comprised of lead or copper or gold coin. The Chinese were already using paper money, which bore the seal of the emperor. Among the many wonders observed by Polo were acupuncture and fireworks and spaghetti, and a device which could see the direction north even on a cloudy night. The Chinese also burned coal for fuel and possessed an elaborate postal system with courier stations throughout the kingdom. And yet, when at last Polo returned to Venice to relate what he had seen, almost nobody would believe him, and the world forgot him. For the adventurer you have just met was Niccolo Polo, who traveled with his brother Matteo Polo. It was only on the brothers' second journey to the Far East that they were accompanied by Niccolo's 17-year young son, and each generation since has certainly known his name, Marco. Marco Polo. It was his dad and his uncle who had been to China first. The door of the East was already open. The trail had been blazed. Marco merely went along for a later ride. And yet history has all but ignored the pioneers Niccolo and Matteo Polo, while every schoolchild remembers Marco Polo only because he, Marco, after returning home, had the good fortune to get thrown into jail for a few months, and he passed the time by telling his cellmate about his travels, and Marco's cellmate was a writer. So now you know the rest of the story.